In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. What on earth was going on in Nazareth? How is this possible? Did somehow Jesus lack power in his native place? Were they running short on grace so that God decided that they were going to ration it there because they had to use more of it in other places? By no means. Jesus was and is fully God. He has as much power at Nazareth as he has anywhere. And we know that God's grace is without limit. The ocean of grace, like the ocean of mercy, is endless. The problem was not with Jesus. It was with the people of Nazareth, those who had heard him. Now, to be fair, they were following in a long line among the children of Israel, people whose minds and hearts were hardened when a messenger of God was sent to them. They thought they knew who Jesus was. They were astonished at him. Hey, isn't this the carpenter? His cousins live here. We saw him grow up. Who is he to tell us anything? And they took offense at him. They were just like their fathers to whom the prophets had been sent. Think about our first reading. What did God tell Ezekiel? These people I'm sending to you, they are a rebellious house. They're hard of mind and hard of heart. Think about the parable of the sower that our Lord himself preached. The problem was never with the seed. The seed was always good. Whether the seed flourished or not depended upon the receptivity of the soil. You know, some of it was rocky, others compressed. Some the birds stole. Others were choked with weeds. It was only a portion that fell upon Yes, no, $20 if your phone goes off in church. If you answer it, it's $200. So, we know about the parable of the sower. It's about whether we are receptive to God or not. And the people of Nazareth were not. And God never forces his grace upon anyone. And that is why Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. They had erected barriers between him and them, and so he could do nothing for them. It's very similar to something that happens quite frequently. I'll have people come to me and say, Father, my prayers are not being answered. I should just give up praying. And usually we have to examine the situation a little bit, because there are several reasons why prayers apparently, notice I said apparently, are not being heard. Prayers are always heard. But sometimes they're not being answered the way we think they should. You know, we're really great at telling God what to do, aren't we? We say, God, you will do this here, in this way, at this time. And we're so intent on God doing exactly what we tell him to do that we don't notice what he's doing over here. There is, of course, free will. You may be praying for your third cousin twice removed, Frederick, who left the church and joined the Hare Krishnas. You may have been praying to him like Monica prayed, praying for him rather, like Monica prayed for St. Augustine with many tears. May have been doing it for 12, 13, 14, 27 years, and nothing apparently has happened. Is it because God has not heard your prayers? No. It's because he has the free choice to respond to God's grace or not. But don't give up. don't stop, because as we know, the story is not over until the person dies. Also, we have to remember that God is the loving Father who will not give his child a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish. God will only give us the good things that will lead us to salvation. But there's another possibility too. The possibility that we could be like the people of Nazareth. We could have hardened our minds and our hearts to God so that we don't listen to him, so that we don't accept his grace. And then we wonder, why doesn't he work mighty works here as he did 2,000 years ago? And the answer is because we don't let him. We have to have a mind and a heart and a life which is open to him. We need to listen to his word, particularly as it is preached by Holy Mother Church. We need to put that word into practice in our lives. We need to turn from sin and turn to the gospel. In short, we need to be taught by him so that we can be changed by him and led to everlasting life. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.